All right, please take your Bibles and turn to our theme verse for the year, Proverbs chapter number 11 and verse 30. And thank you, orchestra. They're doing a wonderful job. Amen. Amen. Thank you, young ladies. We thank the Lord for godly music and for the privilege it is to sing praises to the Lord. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30. Let's read our theme verse together out loud, shall we? On two. Proverbs chapter number 11, verse 30, 1, 2. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again that we can turn to your eternal word. And Lord, we pray that you would help us once again. Lord, quicken us by thy Holy Spirit, we pray. Lord, lead us into truth. Lord, we ask that you would help us as we begin in this new theme, in this new year. Lord, help us to understand the importance of your word and what you have said and called us to do. Lord, we pray, Father, that we would not rest in any strength that we have or any wisdom that we have, but Lord, we would rest in your wisdom. We would rest in your power to use us to change the lives of others. And Father, we thank you for the privilege it is to be involved in your work. Thank you, Lord, that we can throw out the lifeline to someone this week. Lord, help us this evening to be more prepared and to grow in your truth, that we may be better witnesses for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Proverbs 11, chapter number 30, is where we began this morning. And tonight we are going to look at the second thought in our verse. There are two thoughts, one on the left and one on the right. And tonight we're going to focus on the necessity for wisdom for the soul winner. The wisdom of the soul winner. That's the title of our message this evening. The Bible says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Now, I heard a little story about an old-fashioned barber that was converted, and he made a commitment to witness to every customer that came into his old-fashioned barber shop. Well, one of the first customers that came in sat down in the chair, and as he began to shave him, he was trying to muster out the courage to tell him about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, finally, he stood with the razor poised over the man's throat and asked him, "If you died right now, do you know where you'll be going?" Now, how many of you would agree that wouldn't be the most wisest timing to ask that question? A good question to ask, but maybe not the wisest timing to choose. Now, the Bible says, "He that winneth souls is wise." What does that mean? We need wisdom. Now, righteousness and wisdom are one. Amen. This morning we spoke about the need to be righteous. You and I cannot be righteous in and of our own selves. First of all, we need to make sure that we are saved. The Bible says that he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we, as unrighteous sinners, might be made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Salvation is the prerequisite for the soul winner. Secondly, we saw the picture of the soul winner. That as we grow in righteousness, and yes, we must grow in righteousness, it is not automatic and it is not a sure thing. You and I need to choose to walk with the Lord each day. You and I need to choose to abide in Jesus Christ. We must grow. We must take off the old man and put on the new each day in order to grow. And as we grow, our lives will become a blessing to others. And that blessing is pictured in the first half of the verse as a tree of life. The Bible says that we ought to be a picture of God's eternal blessings, of his eternal life that he's given us. And we ought to be flourishing. We ought to be growing. We ought to be a testimony to God, a tree of life. And then we learnt that the product of the soul winner is more lives. Not just our lives being changed, but our lives changing other lives. For he that winneth souls is wise.
And tonight, as we look at God's word, we are looking at the wisdom of the soul winner. If we are going to be more effective witnesses for the Lord, we need to get some wisdom. Amen. And I believe there are three essential areas that are foundational if you and I are going to be witnesses for God. All right, the first truth we see is just over in a few Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 22. I read this morning. Proverbs chapter 22. Notice the first area of wisdom that we must put down into our lives as witnesses. Proverbs chapter number 22. Notice verses 20 and 21. The Bible says, "Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee." Notice what the Bible tells us, that God has written to us excellent things in counsels, in knowledge, that he might make us know the certainty of the words of truth, so that what? We can answer in certainty with 100% assurance what God's word says to those whom we speak to those whom we meet. Now, I must admit, the day that I got saved, I knew absolutely nothing about the Bible except what I knew in order to be saved. I didn't know much at all. But the Bible tells us that you and I, as witnesses, as God has called us to be witnesses, can know what to say in order to lead someone to Christ. Why? Because God has given us his word. Amen. We have the word of God. Amen. And so the first necessity for the soul winner, when it comes to wisdom, we need to be wise in the word of God. Wise in the word of God. Those of you who come on Wednesday nights will be familiar with 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. The Bible says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." Now, that sounds a lot like the first banner over here, doesn't it? Sanctify, be righteous, set the Lord aside, make him holy in your life. That means to be willing to follow the Lord in righteousness in your life. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So you see, we need to be ready to give an answer. And in order for you and I to do that, we have to be wise in the word of God. We have to have wisdom in the word of God, because it is the word of God that has the power to save the lost souls of mankind. Is that right? It's the word of God. The apostle Paul said in Romans chapter number 1, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, from the Jew first and also to the Greek." Every single person can be saved. How? By the power of the word of God. What does that mean? Well, if we are going to be soul winners, we have to be wise in the word of God. Now, think about Paul. There he is in Athens, and really he's just having a layover. He hadn't planned to stay there. He was fleeing persecution, about to go to the next place. But there he was in Athens, and the Bible tells us that he looked upon the city and he was so stirred in his heart. In this city that was wholly given to idolatry, he had to say something. Friend, have you ever met someone that you knew needed to be saved and that had to hear the gospel, and you were so stirred and you had such a great burden to tell them that you had to go and tell them? Well, that was the Apostle Paul. That should be the natural response of the soul winner. And so there Paul went. He went to the market and started preaching. And then they took him to the public arena where speeches were to be made. And there was Paul preaching the gospel, the word of God. That's what Paul preached. And as he preached, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 17, 32, that some mocked. Have you ever been mocked before? Well, if you're going to be a witness, you'll be mocked all the time. You'll be rejected many times. And so was the Apostle Paul. Some mocked, but notice, "And others said, we will hear thee again of this matter." They didn't get saved right there and then. That's what the Bible says in Athens. But they said, "We would like to hear more." Now, a few verses later, the Lord jumps to the point in verse 34. "Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed. Friends, pagan, idolatrous Athenians were miraculously born again because they heard the preaching of the Word of God. And when God gave them light, guess what? Some of them wanted more light. And when they came after that light, guess what? God turned the light on and they were wonderfully saved. Friends, why was God able to use the Apostle Paul? Why? Well, he was faithfully preaching what he knew from God. Amen? The gospel. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to be wise in the Word of God. He that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls is wise. Friends, we need wisdom. We need wisdom. And so, when it comes to the Word of God, we need to take some time and commit some time to study His Word. If we want to be skilled in leading others to Christ, we need to pay some attention to the Word of God. See, it won't be enough just to read God's Word. We need to study it. Now, let me encourage you, as God puts people in your life and mine to witness to, as you spend time with God and His Word in your daily quiet time, God will more often than not show you verses to answer the questions that people will ask you. Sometimes they'll ask you a question and you don't know how to answer. And as you spend time with the Lord and His Word, isn't it true? So often the Lord goes, here's a verse to share next time. Here's an answer to that question. Why? Because God has given us, as we already read, wisdom, counsel, knowledge, so that we can answer in truth and certainty what God says. What an amazing promise. So if we are in the Word of God, we will have the answers from God. And as we study the Word of God, you and I will become wise in His Word in order to be a better witness. Would you agree?
Yep.
So what do we need to do? We need to take some time to study His Word. Look, if someone asks you a hairy question that you don't know how to answer, let them know, you'll get back to them, and then go to the Word of God. Ask someone where to go in the Word of God. But spend time in His Word. Notice Psalm chapter 1 with me for a moment. Psalm chapter number 1. Friends, he that winneth souls is wise. We need to be wise in the Word of God. Psalm chapter number 1. A well-known psalm, verse 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So he is a Christian. Amen. That's not wasting his time in the world. Not going to the places where the world hangs out. Not watching what the world watches. And not listening to what the world says. The entertainment of the world. The foolishness of the world. Rather, what is this Christian doing? Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. So instead of spending time on foolish things, amen, he switched off the TV, amen, and he's spending time in the Word of God. Not only reading it, the word meditate means to what? To roll over in your mind so much that it becomes a part of your heart and of your thoughts. Hiding the Word of God in our hearts. That's what it means to meditate, amen? To not just read the Word of God, but to allow the Word of God to become a part of us. And here is a believer, notice what verse 3 says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now that sounds a lot like our theme, doesn't it? He shall be a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. There's the tree of life. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. There's the fruit. Friend, we need to be wise in the Word of God. Let me encourage you to spend more time in His Word. Amen. We all need to spend more time in His Word. That's already understood because we don't spend enough. We need to spend time in His Word, especially when it comes to being a witness. When was the last time you prayed, Lord, show me in your word how I can become a better witness. Lord, show me some truths that I can share with someone today. Maybe it's just some verses about who Christ is. Maybe it's some verses how Christ is the only way, and you're meditating and memorizing those verses and maybe looking up some answers. But whatever it takes, we need to make a commitment to study his word. We don't like that word study, but that's what God's word is for. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And friend, you and I all have God's word in our hands. You want to be a better witness for the Lord? You want to be used of God to lead souls to Christ? Well, we better get into the word. Amen. He will make you to become fishers of men. You just follow the Lord. Amen. You follow him. He'll make you to become who he wants you to be. It will happen, but it doesn't happen automatically. We have to be in the word with the Lord. All right. Now, it's going to take not only some commitment to the word of God, but some commitment to the house of God. Friends, the Bible tells us very clearly that the church of God, the house of God, the church of the living God, is the pillar and ground of the truth. That is the local New Testament church. By the way, it was the soul winner, the Apostle Paul, that said that. You know what that translates to? He says, be in church. Be in church. It is the house of God. It is the pillar and ground of the truth. This is the place that we, as God's soul winning team, are built up and taught and strengthened in this area of witnessing. That's why he instituted the church. Soul winning is a team effort, isn't it? That's what the Bible tells us. We are to strive together for the faith of the gospel. It's teamwork. That means we need to be faithful to the house of God. And I've got some exciting news for you. If you're in church this year, you will have all the help that you need to become a better witness for Jesus Christ. I'm looking forward to this year. I'm looking forward to this year. Now, starting on Sunday morning at 9:30, our teenagers and our adult class will both be enjoying a new series that will last for the whole year entitled Becoming a Fisher of Men. Becoming a Fisher of Men. And that year will include different series throughout it. And we'll be encouraged by the Lord how you and I can become fishers of men. Do you know what was the most extraordinary thing about the disciples that the Lord chose? And that he used most mightily. You know what was the most extraordinary thing?
They were like us.
That's it. They were ordinary. Put your hand up if you're ordinary this evening. Amen. If you think you can't be used. These people were ordinary. That's what was extraordinary about them. And we're going to be enjoying this wonderful series. That's just Sunday school. Now, Sunday morning, and maybe sometimes into Sunday night, depends how we go, we are going to be studying together one of my favorite books of the Bible. I've been looking forward to preaching through this book. And this year the Lord said yes, gave the green flag, amen. And we are going to study through the greatest book in the Bible on witnessing. Who might guess what that is? Amen, the book of Acts. The book of Acts. What does Acts mean, young people? It's a book of action, amen. It's a book of action. And God will encourage us to be just like the first century church, not in the sign gifts, by the way, but in the zeal and passion and purpose of being a witness for God. We're going to be encouraged as we study the book of Acts together. Witness for Christ. That's what we're going to be learning about. Then on Wednesday night, we're going to continue our apologetic series. What is that? Well, learning answers to questions that people commonly ask. Friends, this is what we've been doing in church. This is what we're here for. And I hope you don't mind me saying, if you're not in church, then you're not going to be a wise Christian who can be used of God. If you are not in church, you're not being built up. You're not being trained. Friends, this is the training ground. And all God's people said, this is it. This is the training ground. And each and every one of us that are saved have a yearning in our heart to tell someone the gospel. Friends, this is where you need to be. You need to be a part of this church. And by the way, not just an attender. The Bible says that they were saved, baptized, added to the church. That's church membership. We are to be in unity, bound together by the word of God, encouraging one another by our commitment to the local church and striving together for the sake of the gospel. Let me challenge you this evening. to make your life a part of Coastline Baptist Church. Amen? God has a plan for you. God has a plan for us. This is the theme for the new year. Friend, what are you going to do about it? Will you grow in wisdom in the Word of God? Wisdom is not just hearing God's Word, but doing it. But doing it. Now that gets me to another point. You see, what we learn here has to be put into action, doesn't it? Has to be put into action. So this year we're going to work even more so on our door knocking ministry. Ladies Wednesday, men Saturday. You might be here tonight, you might say, Pastor, I don't know what to say. So that's why I don't want to go. Well, the opposite is the truth. Friend, if you don't go, you will not know what to say. Our door knocking ministry is a training ground. That's where we put into practice what we learn. And if you forgot all about it, don't worry. God will train you on the job. Imagine going to apply for a job and not turning up on the first day of work because you don't know what to do and you've never done it before. Well, I won't take that job because I've never done that before. Well, we all understand the basic reality of life. You train on the job. You learn on the job. Amen? That's what we do. So if you come out soul winning, please let me know if you're coming. But if you come out soul winning, you're going to learn on the job. You're going to learn as you go out. There'll be someone to go with you. You won't be alone. And as we go out door knocking, God will help you to dig into the Word of God, to find some answers and give you a greater zeal to be a witness. You see, theory needs to be put into practice. You can put the theory that we learn here into practice as you witness to your friends and family and so on. But would you agree with me, first of all, tonight? We need to be wise in the Word of God. We need to be wise in the Word. That means a commitment to His Word and a commitment to the local New Testament church right here. All right, let's go on to the second point. We need to be wise in the Word of God. Secondly, we need to be wise in the will of God. In the will of God. Notice 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Are you still with me this evening? 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Notice verses 3 and 4. The Bible tells us, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a," say the next word, "soldier." So if I were to ask you, based upon the Word of God, what is God's will for your life and mine? What would you say according to verse number 4? That God has called us to please Him by being a what?
Soldier.
A soldier. Friends, you and I, as Christians, we are in a spiritual warfare. This is the will of God for our lives. But this verse contains a warning for the Christian. And I dare say that there are far too many Christians that have fallen into the peril of verse number 4. The Bible says that no man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life. If we are going to be soul winners for the Lord, we need to be untangled from the things that keep us back from witnessing. We need to be wise in the Word of God. And we have a generation of Christians today that are absolutely useless in the work of God because their lives are completely tied up and entangled with the things of this world. So then there's no more time left, there's no more energy left, and there's no spiritual boldness left to be a witness for God. Entangled in the affairs of this life. What are those affairs? Entertainment. Laziness. Just being lazy. The affairs of this life, just pleasing ourselves, money, pleasure, work, nothing sinful about having a job. But if that job takes you away from being a witness, then it does become sinful. The affairs of this world, the vanity of this world, the lust of this world, the sin in our lives keeps us back from being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you and I are going to be witnesses for Him, we need to be wise. Not only in the Word of God, but in the will of God. We need to answer that ultimate question as Christians. What is God's will for my life? Do you realize that God has already told us in His Word? what His will is? Do you realize you do not need to ask God that question? Well, turn with me to while you're in the New Testament, turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5. We need to know what the will of God is. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5, and verse 20. Now, this is the general will of God for every born-again believer. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, and verse 20. Now then, it sounds like something that's already settled and conclusive. Is that right? Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Friends, that's very clear. We are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. What is an ambassador? An ambassador is a representative for a higher sovereign or authority. And our authority comes from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we are His ambassadors, His representatives on earth. In fact, if you look at this verse carefully, the Bible says, secondly, as though God did beseech you by us. What does that mean? The Apostle Paul is saying that God, through us, is pleading the lost to come to Christ. Notice next, we pray you in Christ's stead. In Christ's place, we are to go out and pray, that is to ask, to witness to the lost, to bring them to Christ and be reconciled back to God. Friends, that is His will for your life and mine. There's no doubt about it. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, listen carefully. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Amen. Friends, this is the will of God. But have you worked it out yet? As a Christian, have you got some wisdom? The Bible says, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Friend, do you not only understand, but do you get it? Do you get it? This is His will for your life and mine, to be a witness. That's His will. That's His will for each and every born-again Christian, to please Him who hath chosen us to be a soldier. You know, I remember when I was saved, I was working as a graphic designer in Sydney. I had a full-time job, and it didn't take me long to work out from the Word of God that my workplace was now my mission field. That's the place where God wanted me to be a witness. You know what happened when I got saved? My career suddenly went out the window. It went out the window. I wasn't bothered where that job would take me. I just wanted to be in the place where I could be a witness. And suddenly I had a whole heap of people around me that, from what I knew, not one of them was saved. So I began to pray and say, Lord, please help me to do as good a job as I can on the projects that come in, so I can have time to witness to people during work. You know, it's not easy to talk to people during work because you're there and you're paid to work. But I prayed and I said, Lord, help me to do a good job. Help me to do it faster. Help me to do it more efficiently. And Lord, get myself out of the way of my pride so I can do a good job and be a better witness and tell others about Jesus Christ. And I began to talk to my workmates, one after the other, to tell them about the Lord. I remember Brother Huey afternoons that I just stayed back. I just stayed back because I knew the chances were someone else would stay back. And then I could say hello and be that annoying person that talk to them about the Lord and ask them the question of salvation. I remember times that I stayed back just to talk to the cleaner because that was the only person there. I had finished my work. But you see, I knew, and it's easy to understand if you just look at the Word of God, that as a saved, born again believer, this was God's calling now. This is what we are now called to do. We are witnesses for Jesus Christ. Friends, are you wise in the will of God? Have you accepted yet that this is God's divine calling upon your life? You see, the question isn't, Lord, what is your will? The question is, Lord, where do you want me to be a witness? Isn't that a big difference from, Lord, what is your career for me? Young people, you're praying, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? Maybe that's the wrong question, because the question's already been answered. God has already told us. The better question is, Lord, where do you want me to be a witness? Hey, if the Lord wants you to be an accountant and he has a firm prepared for you where he wants you to be a witness, praise God. He'll train you up in an appropriate place. He'll send you there and go and witness for the Lord there. But friends, the question isn't what job or career does God want us to do? Friends, we do not have a career. We have a calling. And the calling is to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. You see, hear that, winner souls is wise. And it's the fool that thinks that their life is all about their job and the tasks that they perform. Friends, that is just the mission field for the gospel. Amen? Absolutely we must work. Absolutely we need to do as good a job as we can. Why? For the avenue of the gospel in that place to those people. You see, God has called us with a holy calling. My friends, we need to be wise in his will. You see, once you work out this, you'll be doing the right thing with the rest of your life. Once you work it out and get wisdom that you are called to be a witness wherever God sends you, you're going to be used of God. Amen. We are called to be a witness. And secondly, we are called to a place in the will of God. Friends, God has a specific place for you to be. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Have you worked that out? Do you have wisdom as a believer? Have you worked it out that God has called you to a specific place and a specific people? Look with me in the book of Acts, chapter number 8. And we're going to enjoy a lot of these verses this year, but Acts chapter number 8, and you know the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. As Philip was ministering in Samaria, God said to Philip, drop everything, and this is what I want you to do. Acts chapter number 8 and verse 26. Acts chapter number 8, verse 26. Let's read this verse aloud together, shall we? On two. One, two. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Now, would you agree this evening that God told Philip specifically where to go? It wasn't very general, it was very specific. He gave Philip the address. Why? Because the place related to a person. See, we are not just called to a place, we are called to a people in that place. And Philip was called to go there. Why? Because there was someone there who was reading what? The Word of God. Amen. He received the light and God was about to give him a whole lot more light. And so there goes Philip. And he was exactly in the place where God wanted him to be. And what happened at the end of the story? The Ethiopian eunuch was wonderfully saved. And we believe by historical tradition that the eunuch took the gospel back to Africa. And that's how the gospel got to Africa. But Philip was in the right place at the right time. And here's my point. Not only do we have a calling to be a witness, but we have a calling to a place. Friend, have you worked out where God wants you to be a witness? Have you worked it out? Do you have wisdom in the will of God? Friends, God puts us in a place. He puts us in a neighborhood. Is that right? That is our mission field. He puts us next to people. He wants you and I to tell about the Lord Jesus Christ. He puts us in a city, the city of Cairns, where he wants us to reach out with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He puts us in a workplace with workmates that you and I would never otherwise meet. Why? In order to pay the bills? Well, for the average unsaved person, yes. But not for you and I if we understand the will of God, amen? If we are called to be a chosen generation, to be witnesses for God, that is our mission field. Amen? A specific place where there are some specific people that God wants us to share the gospel with. And you know what the most exciting thing about the Lord's calling upon my family's life 4 years ago, almost 4 years ago, was to come to Cairns. You know what the most exciting thing was? Well, it wasn't a change to get out of the city, to get out of Sydney and to get away from the pollution. Now, that was nice to leave that behind. To get away from the traffic. Amen. To get away from all the noise. I remember next door to our little unit, they were renovating the unit block next to us. I don't know if it's still going on. It looked like it would take years jackhammering
and building at the crack of dawn. And I remember little Joanna waking up and just living in the city. I thank the Lord we're no longer living in Sydney. But that wasn't the most exciting thing about coming to Cairns. The open spaces, amen? Less traffic, that wasn't the most exciting thing. The beautiful beaches, that wasn't the most exciting thing. The most exciting thing about the Lord's calling to Cairns was a calling to a specific place. The Bible said to my family and I, Revelations 4:1, come up hither and I will show you the things that must be hereafter. And you know what that meant to my wife and I? That if you come up to the place that I want you to be, I'm going to use you to lead souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because we worked it out that it's God's will for us to be witnesses. And when God calls us to a place, souls will be saved. Amen? Souls will be saved if we're in the right place and if we are wise to the will of God. And brethren, we need to be decided on where God has placed us to live. Let me ask you this evening, has God put you in the city of Cairns, yes or no? Or are you just drifting in all your plans and dreams for your life? Has God settled you in the city of Cairns? Well, if the answer is yes, here we are at Coastline Baptist Church and God has called you to a people in this place and it's time to get busy to witness for the Lord. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise in the will of God. In the will of God. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Christian, are you in the will of God? I trust that you are. Well, then let's get busy. Amen. And by the way, don't go anywhere unless God sends you to another place. Get it? To be a witness. Amen. He's not going to send you to another place for less than that. That's why he moves us, to be a witness. Wow, that's pretty controversial, Pastor. Well, that's Bible. Amen? And I don't mind offending people by preaching the truth. Cairns is a transient place. So what does that mean? Does that mean no one stays in a local Bible-believing church in Cairns for no more than 5-10 years? Because it's a transient place? I'm sorry, but that's not what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that we are to stay put and strive together for the sake of the gospel. Not our bank account. Not our comfort. Not our pleasure. Friends, the will of God. Not only a specific calling, but a specific place. Have you worked it out? Well, if not, let's get wisdom tonight. Let's be excited that if God has put you here as much as he has us, which I believe he has, then there are souls that he has for you to be a part of bringing them to Christ. Isn't that exciting, Brother Huey? Isn't that exciting? Amen? To be in his will. If we simply are in his will and we're faithful, God will bring them along our path. Just like Philip, go there. Tell them. Wow, they want to listen. What a miracle. Well, you're just doing what God told you to do. Amen? You're in the right place. What a privilege and an honor it is to be a witness. But if we are going to be soul winners, first of all, wise in the Word of God. We need to know what to say. We have his Word. We have a church. No excuses. Amen? Secondly, we need to be wise in the will of God. In the will of God. Be excited. God's put you in a place with people around you. Let's speak out for the Lord. Thirdly, we need to be wise in the ways of God. Now look up at me at our verse this year. He that winneth souls is wise. Do you notice tonight that God didn't tell us the timing of when souls will be saved? Now, I don't want to undermine our verse, but God doesn't say just because this is our theme this year, amen, we're going to run out of chairs on Sunday morning in 2 weeks' time. Okay? We need to be wise in the ways of God, in the Word of God, in the will of God, and in how God works, in the ways of God. Notice with me in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. All right, this is our last point tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. We need to understand how God works. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. The Apostle Paul said, I have planted,
Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Brethren, time and time again in the Word of God, God uses the analogy of farming, of a harvest field, to describe his work, doesn't he?
Yes.
Sowing and reaping, planting and watering. And the Bible tells us that if we are to be witnesses for the Lord, there will be different seasons and different stages of ministry within a local New Testament church. There will be seasons of sowing. Well, what is that? Well, you and I taking the gospel and sowing the Word of God in new areas, going out for the first time and door knocking an area, that's sowing. That's what we're doing right now, sowing the Word of God. There are other areas where we have entered into the labors of the past. Amen? The past years of Coastline Baptist Church, where places were letterboxed, where people were spoken to. Sometimes we're watering, sometimes we're sowing seed, whether we're going door knocking, letterboxing, witnessing to people around us, but a season of sowing. And then there's sometimes a season of watering where we revisit those who we've spoken to and they remember us. And they say, oh yeah, I remember you. You came around last Christmas. Well, is there another Christmas service on? Oh, okay. Well, maybe I might come this time. And we're watering. We're sowing. Amen. We are laboring for the Master. And sadly, too often in this early stage, that's when the average Christian gives up. Gives up. Why? Because they don't see immediate results. Now, imagine if you and I were farmers. Okay? We had a farm each. Up in the tableland somewhere, beautiful fertile pasture of land. We go out, we plow the field, we sow the seed, and we come back the next day after some good rain, expecting to see some fruit, and we see no growth at all. We see no visible evidence of anything happening at all. And you and I throw up our hands and we say, I've had enough. I'm not going to take this anymore. What a waste of time. And we throw in the towel. Now, what kind of farmer would we be described as? Would we be described as a wise farmer? Or would we be described as a foolish farmer? Well, friends, God uses the analogy of farming. Why? Because we need to understand his ways. We are called to sow. We are called to water. And in God's omnipotent, wise timing, he will give the increase. When he chooses to, according to his pleasure, according to his wisdom, it's not our business to look for fruit. It's our business to preach the gospel. Amen. It's our business to preach the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Now, that's the little memory verse that my wife wrote down on that chalkboard that many of you ladies have for memory verses. And I've been trying to memorize it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Here's the promise. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What is God saying? When you don't see anything happening, your labor is not in vain. Don't let your eyes trick you. God is at work supernaturally in people's hearts in ways that we cannot see. Don't be a fool, Christian. And give up the first time you go out door knocking. And give up the second time you go out door knocking. And give up after a year of door knocking or tracting or letterboxing. Don't we give up too early? We get discouraged. Why? Because we're not wise. That's the problem. We're not wise in the ways of God. Friend, God will give the increase. And the reality is only eternity will tell the impact of your witness and mine. The fullest reality will only be known in eternity to come. Friend, many of the greatest missionaries in our history had to wait years before seeing one, just one, soul come to Jesus Christ. 7 years after William Carey went to India, he saw his first Hindu convert. 7 years of preaching in Burma, Adoniram Judson saw souls come to Christ. I wonder how long we would have lasted. I wonder if we would have stayed 2, 3, 4. You know what the world of our churches would say about a missionary like that? Well, I hope they wouldn't. But the tendency is to say, well, they're not doing a good job. Is that right?
That's right.
But thank God these missionaries had some wisdom. They understood the way God works. Amen.
They went to a heathen country for the first time and they were sowing seeds and they just said to the Lord, Lord, help me to be faithful. Help me to be faithful. Help me to keep going. And thank God they did. Amen. And we need to be the same. We need to understand that as we sow, as we water, God will keep his promise. Our business is to be a witness. He will lead souls to Jesus Christ. And the question isn't whether we see physical results or not. The question is, are we wise in the ways of God? Are we wise in the ways of God? Do we understand that there will be a harvest at the end of the age? Amen? There will be a harvest. The Bible tells us that souls will be saved. The Bible tells us that multitudes will be in heaven. That cannot possibly be counted. And here you and I are doubting whether one person will be saved, because we are oftentimes foolish in our thinking. We need to be faithful. Let me encourage you to go and to keep going and to keep going. And I dare say in the 10 years, this is the 10th year of Coastline Baptist Church, there has been more than one or two people saved. Would you agree with me this evening? More than one or two? Yeah. Amen? Perhaps because of the people sitting here tonight. Amen? There's more than one. More than two. So we ought to be encouraged and cast away those foolish thoughts and believe that God will use us, can use us, wants to use us. He's called us to a place. He's called us to a people. We need to be wise in the word of God, in the will of God, and in the ways of God. Lastly, turn with me to the book of Daniel, chapter number 12. Daniel chapter number 12, and I'll end with this verse. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and then the book of Daniel, chapter 12 and verse 3. Let's read this verse out loud together. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3. Notice the word wise. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3 on 2. 1, 2. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. My friends, what a wonderful promise of God. The righteous are to turn many to righteousness. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life that turn many others to righteousness. And what does the Bible say? They that be wise. Wise. Christian, have you got some wisdom tonight from the Word of God? I trust you have. I trust you have. Let me challenge you this evening that he that winneth souls is wise. Make some commitments to spend more time in his Word. Amen. Let me encourage you to learn how to be a better soul winner by letting the Lord Jesus teach you from his Word. And then be in church. Amen. And let the Lord continue to teach you to be a better soul winner. And then be wise in the will of God. Be settled. Be decided on where God has put you. And if he's put you here, there should be no doubt in your mind that he wants to use you right here. Be committed to the will of God. And then thirdly, be wise to the ways of God. Church family, be patient. Amen. Be patient. Expect the increase. So often it's true, and I've seen it in the past, that when you go out door knocking, you know what God will do? He'll bring in someone else from someplace else, some way else, just to honor your efforts in being a witness. Just to honor your faithfulness. He'll bring someone else in. You see, God blesses a church that obeys him. It may not be fruit from the door. It may just be from somewhere else altogether. God is faithful. Amen. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Trust in the faithfulness of God. Unlikely places can offer, uncover wonderful fruit. Amen. Let's be encouraged. This is the theme for us for this year. Let's be excited for what God will do in our lives and in our church for the sake of the gospel.